Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is Andrew Hall. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Robert.
Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Andrew is a program manager on the diagnostics team in Visual Studio Land,
That's great.
He's here today to show us one of the many cool new features in the next version of Visual Studio, Visual Studio Ultimate 2013 Preview.
Correct.
Is what it is right now. Of course, you can download that and get it, and Andrew's going to show us some of the cool new things in the world of diagnostics.
That's right.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, Robert. So what we're going to talk about today is a new performance and diagnostics entry point that internally we're referring to as the diagnostics hub. Mm-hmm. And our vision is that it becomes the single point of entry for all the performance tools that you need to use in all of your development.
So in other words, rather than have to go to an individual menu choice every time you want to run a diagnostic tool, there'll be one place where you can launch them all?
That's correct.
Ah, what an excellent idea.
And if a new tool comes, it'll just show up there.
That is a great idea.
Thank you.
So we've got this new single stop, there are additional diagnostic tools as well?
There are additional diagnostic tools in 2013, that is correct.
Okay, so let's see it.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and start with a blank Visual Studio. I don't have a project open. I can get to the Performance and Diagnostics page from the Debug Performance and Diagnostics menu. And that's going to go ahead and open up the new launch page. So you can see here I don't have a project open, so I'm going to have to choose what I'd like to profile. You know, do I want to launch an application? So if I had a project open, I could choose my startup project. That would be the project that would launch when I started debugging if I hit F5. I can choose to attach to a running app. This is a Windows Store app. If I have any applications running, then I can choose to attach to those.
So this would also be ones that I wrote as well as ones I've downloaded from the store?
That's correct, if they're running.
Okay, cool.
So, and then we have the option to launch an installed application. If you're having a problem with it on a machine where you may not have the project, you can pick an installed app and go ahead and just launch it in that case. We also have these two options for if you want to profile an executable. For example, same deal, you may not have the solution. Mm-hmm. You could choose target the executable. And then ASP.NET, we have the option to, you can point it to IIS, a local website running on your local host, and it'll go ahead and kick off profiling and profile it in that way. So let's go ahead and talk about the new store tools we have for store applications. So I'm going to go ahead and pick my C# app that I have here. This is a C# XAML application that I have written. And so now it's going to offer me the tools. And we have two new tools in 2013 that are new to this. We have the Energy Consumption Profiler. This is really intended to help you understand how your application is going to impact the battery life when you're running on Slate devices.
Okay.
And then we have a XAML UI responsiveness that is intended to help you understand problems when you're doing XAML application development when your UI is not performing like
you'd
expect it to be.
We've had JavaScript responsiveness tools. Now we get them for XAML.
That's correct. Cool. Yeah, we added a JavaScript responsiveness tool in Visual Studio 2012, update number 2.
Cool.
So let's go ahead and kick off the energy consumption profiler and see what it does.
All right.
So notice I don't even have my project open. I don't have to have a solution here. And I can click start, and it's going to launch. So what I've done here is I have an application, and we can see we might have a little bit of a startup problem. It wasn't particularly fast, but it's a XAML photo viewer. So I have a bunch of photos over here, and I can scroll down. And then I've done a little bit of logic to do some image processing.
Okay.
And I want to understand whether I process it on a server, how that compares from a battery life perspective as opposed to if I just process it locally on a CPU. Given that my tablet may not have a great CPU, it may actually be more beneficial to offload it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and click process on server. I can see that it'll come back. It's just changed the pixel shading a little bit. So let's go ahead and pick a different app. Image, go back, and let's now go ahead and process it on the CPU.
Okay.
So I can see that that's completed. I'm going to come back and click stop collection. And it's going to bring up the report. And I can see how much of my application was being used for network, for CPU, and for the display. And I can see that a lion's share was being used for the display and the CPU.
Mm-hmm.
But we were running for a while, so let's zoom in on just this time area where I was using the network. And I can see that the network cost actually pushed, and if you look at the graph, the total power consumption was much higher than over here where I had a little bit of CPU spike where I actually did the image processing on the CPU and wasn't using any network.
Okay.
So it may be beneficial from a performance perspective possibly to do complex calculations off of my device, but I can see that I may need to weigh that here.
Now how did you know, other than the fact that you kind of instinctively knew, how did you know that that big spike was when you did the network thing and the smaller one was when you did the local?
So I can see the blue line here. It actually tells me that I have network going on.
Okay.
So whereas over here, the CPU spike corresponds to, there's no network activity, but that was when I clicked the button because I knew that I did it in time after I had done the network.
Okay.
And then this time over here was kind of all dead time while we were talking.
Right. Okay. So talking takes up battery life. That's good.
That's right. Well, because I'm using the display, right?
Yep.
It's telling me that it takes power to keep the screen all
lit
up. So I'm going to go ahead and close this. And you can see that it's going to ask me if I want to save it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes. And I can choose to save it anything I want. So I could call it Energy Report, for example. Oops, I hit the wrong key, but that's okay.
Yep.
So let's go ahead over. And now we moved over to a next instance of Visual Studio where I have the same application open with the project.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back to the Performance and Diagnostics page. Now my debug menu is a little bit more populated because I have project open. And you can see that we've automatically selected the startup project, assuming that's what we want to profile. And so let's go ahead and take a look at the XAML UI responsiveness profile.
Cool.
This is the new one. And click Start.
Interesting to see. This is great information. It'll be interesting to see in what cases it's good news versus bad news.
So I may decide, you know, the next thing I want to go look at is actually my startup performance here.
Yeah.
This app takes a little while. So let's go ahead and scroll down and take a look at the pictures that we have in here. And you may notice that that scroll bar thumb isn't keeping up at all with me as I'm scrolling. So that's a really common responsiveness problem that we know people have when doing XAML application development. So let's go head back to Visual Studio and let's see what the responsiveness profiler shows me. So I can see I have two graphs going on here. The top one is showing me CPU utilization of the various subsystems of the XAML runtime. I can see when I'm parsing, when I'm doing layout, when I'm doing per-frame callback, or when something else is going on in the XAML runtime. You can tell looking at this graph here that I do just a little bit of parsing over here, but parsing doesn't appear to be my problem here at all.
Right.
And in fact, that's the view that I have down here. I can see that I spent, you know, less than 20 milliseconds total parsing my two views. That makes sense. They were pretty simple. But then I have a lot of CPU activity going on between the layout and something else over here. And I'm going to assume that this is probably corresponds in time to when I was scrolling based on how we were using the application. So I'm going to go ahead over here to the Hot Elements tab down here, and it's going to show me how much time was spent laying out the various elements in my UI. So I'm going to go ahead and drag this over, and I can see, in fact, that the top thing in my UI that was being laid out was this windows.ui.controls.groupItem. And so if I expand that down, it's going to show me the children, and I can see that there was four of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can see that I have an item control. And so if I think of to how I've written my application, what I've done is I was grouping the pictures by the subfolder that they were in. So they were organized by month. And it turns out that when I do grouping, so do a little research, grouping in a list view control disables virtualization. So that means as I'm scrolling that list, it's having to redraw every element, whether or not it's visible or not.
Okay.
So in this case, it points me pretty quickly to the fact that having grouped items is actually the problem in my application.
Got it. Cool.
So I could think about whether I really need grouping or how to tweak that design.
Mm-hmm. And then you could compare the various alternatives and see if they're worth the cost.
That's correct.
Cool.
So the other thing I want to talk about real quick is the CPU profiler, while we're on the subject of the XAML tools. And if you think about it, it took me a while to start up my application. Notice that it's not till about the 10-second mark. I parsed stuff over here right at the start, but we didn't really see anything until about 10 seconds, and that's when the XAML activity picks up. So the CPU profiler is the same tool that we shipped in Visual Studio 2012. So I'm not going to run it, but I have saved a report already. In my And so this is the CPU tool.
Mm-hmm.
It works, would have worked the exact same way as XAML or Energy, Performance and Diagnostics, Go, but we'll go ahead and cancel that because we have a report already. And it's going to show me how I'm using my CPU here. And so there's a couple things that are shown right away to me on this summary page. So like the other tools, I have a graph that shows me my CPU consumption over time. One thing I would notice is my CPU consumption isn't particularly high. It never really costs 40%.
Right.
But I have four cores on the machine, so that could be indicative of something. I see my hot path. This is what was executing most frequently. And then I see the functions that are, or the modules that were actually the most work was being done in.
Mm-hmm.
This one was occurring in one of the runtime DLLs, so I probably don't have a lot of control over that other than I can see that I'm calling it. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on this main page loaded move next function, because that's the top of my code. And it jumps me to this view that ties me to my source code. It shows me how much each line of source code was costing me, and then what sort of in that particular method, which we're in this move next method, the fetch picture is where I'm spending 93% of my CPU time. And so if I look at what I'm doing, I can see that I'm doing a for each, and I'm going through, I'm enumerating the folders in the pictures directory, and then in fact I'm enumerating the files to then go build that file list.
Yep.
And so if I think back to my home page where I really wasn't using that much of my CPU, I might think about parallelizing this to get it, take advantage of more cores. So maybe I can improve
or
my startup time.
Maybe not loading up all of the pictures at first to some kind of paging scheme, right?
Exactly.
Because you've got a number of pictures there, and you're loading all of them, reading them off the disk one at a time, and you have to wait until that entire thing is done.
Exactly.
Right. So, and now you know. I mean, you can take one look at that line of code. Item equal new image item file folder name, taking up 94.5% of the time, you immediately understand what the issue is.
Exactly.
Cool.
So that's I'm going to go ahead and get out of full screen mode. And when I go to close the UI responsiveness report that we generated, I have the option to save it or not. We saved our energy one. We don't need to save this one. So we go ahead and close that. And this file had already been saved, so that's not an issue there. So let's go ahead and move on and talk about JavaScript tools.
Yep.
So I have a JavaScript application that I've written here. It's another Windows Store application. And I'm going to go ahead and do debug, performance and diagnostics. And you can see the tools that apply to the JavaScript applications. One of the things I want to point out while we're here right now is notice that we're in the same launch page, same menu entry point, and I'm seeing the tools that apply to my application type.
Right.
In the previous one, we were in a C# application. We saw tools that applied to C#. We're in a JavaScript application now. We see tools that apply to JavaScript.
Mm-hmm.
So no more having to understand which tool you can use against which project type.
Right. Yeah, it's a nice landing point to have access to all the tools. And then as new tools appear, they'll just show up there.
That's correct. So here we have CPU sampling. We just talked about that one. This one is for hybrid JavaScript applications. It doesn't actually show what's going on in JavaScript, but if you're referencing managed or native code, it'll show you what was going on in there. The energy consumption profiler is the same energy consumption profiler we looked at in C#. We also have the JavaScript HTML UI responsiveness profiler. This is the one that was shipped in Visual Studio 2012, update number 2.
Okay.
It's similar to the XAML UI responsiveness, and the goal is to help you understand what's affecting the performance of your UI, layout, responsiveness, things like that. We also have a JavaScript memory tool that was added in update number 1 to 2012. It helps you understand your JavaScript memory. Unfortunately, at this point, we don't have a XAML equivalent for managed native applications, but we understand that that's a gap, and it's something we're working to address. And then I have the JavaScript profiler that is shows me my method timings of my JavaScript code.
Right.
So this can be thought of as very similar to the CPU profiler, except this is specific to JavaScript code.
And that showed up in?
This was in Visual Studio 2012 RTM version.
Oh, RTM, okay.
Yeah. So let's start with the UI responsiveness profiler and take a quick tour of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go ahead and click start. App popped up. You could see it actually was a little bit sluggish as the stuff slid in. So let's see if we can figure out a way to improve the performance of just that quick startup where things slide in. It did.
Okay. I guess compared to the XAML app, it was lightning fast.
Let's go ahead and do start without debugging. For JavaScript performance, you never want to debug. It's true for most performance, but notice how it kind of...
Okay.
It's a little jittery there.
Yep.
So in this view, let's go ahead and toggle full screen again. And so similar to the XAML UI responsiveness tool, I get a breakdown of what my CPU is doing at given points in time. I can see the frame rate of my application. And then down here, I have a list of events that correspond to when events occur in time. I can also sort them by how long they took, for example. So here, I noticed right away, I think it got kind of had a little jar right as we started. And notice my frame rate drops and corresponding to this big blue spike on my CPU graph.
Right.
So let's go ahead and just zoom on that and see what was going on at that time frame. And it will show us that we were doing image decoding. So if you think about those tiles that popped up when we did the application, I'm using images for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that I'm loading the full image, which is a really big image if you go look in my project. Images. So let's take this one for example, which was the tropical fish. See, that's a really big image to have to scale down to put on that little tile.
Okay.
And so I can see that where that frame rate was impacted, I was decoding each and every one of these images, which was taking, depending on the image, anywhere from 40 to about 70 milliseconds.
Right.
So if I were to go grab, for example, Windows 8 provides a WinRT method that will let me grab thumbnails. And so if I use the thumbnails instead, it'll have to do a lot less decoding because it's not going to have to scale it down.
Yeah.
So I could think about fixing that performance problem
that
way as well. Also, notice that I have some HTTP requests that are kicked off here. And I can see that I'm actually retrieving two of my images. My daily images are being retrieved from an HTTP server. And notice that those don't occur if I clear selection, for example. Let's go ahead. They don't kick off till after a second, and I have to get the image back before I parse it. So I could also look at the implementation of my application to see if I could think about kicking off that HTTP request earlier in the application load cycle so the image was already back for me when it was time to make use of that image.
Okay. And then the question is that occurring in parallel, or is that just shifting the lags? Are you having more startup time and losing the sluggishness, or faster startup time and gaining the sluggishness? But you could play the two of those off and then test to see, right?
What's exactly, going on. The tool shows me what's going on. It doesn't necessarily tell me what the best thing to do is, but it gives me an option. I can also
knowing what's going on is pretty much the first step to figuring out why and what to do about it, right?
So. Yeah, and I also, for example, speaking of what's going on, I have spending this 565 milliseconds doing HTML parsing, and I can go down here and see how long it's taking me to parse each and every one of my scripts, and I see down here that I have a really big script that I'm parsing, and so I could think about, do I really need all the functionality in that script, or could I pull out the stuff that I really need and spend a lot less time parsing just what I need as opposed to loading an entirely a very large library.
Cool.
So let's go ahead. I don't need to save that. Let's go back to the performance and diagnostics page. And so we have the JavaScript profiler. I'll just quickly open a report of what that looks like. I said it's functionality that shipped in Visual Studio 2012. In my application, when I use it, which it's still running here because we kicked it off, I can see sometimes this gets a little bit slow. You can see that the ripples may not be quite as performant as I'd like. Mm-hmm. So I collected a profile of running that code. So I'm just going to go ahead and do a file open. And I'm going to do I put them in a performance reports file. And when it opens, so much like the CPU report, I have a summary page that pops up here. It's going to show me the functions that we're executing, my call tree. So we have the hot path, and I have the individual functions. And I can see that I have this function ripple and then math.flow are both really expensive. So if I click ripple, similar to the CPU profiler, it jumps me to my source code, and it shows me how much time I'm spending. And I can see that I'm spending a fair amount of time calling math.floor, which it turns out in JavaScript there's actually less expensive ways from a performance perspective to just round a number than actually using the math.floor method.
Okay.
So if I modify that, I can actually shave off, improve my performance by about 25%.
Excellent.
So the last tool that I want to talk about is the JavaScript memory tool. This was shipped in 2012, update number one. It's a little different than all the tools that we've looked at so far because it actually involves sort of live interaction with the tool. If you think about all the other tools, you go do something and you click, come back to Visual Studio, you click stop and you give it a report. For the memory tool, it's gonna launch my application. But what it's gonna do is now I have to come back to the IDE and I have to click Take Snapshot. And so the idea is as I'm investigating memory, I want to understand how interacting with my application actually affects the performance. So for example, if I come over here and click on that, and then I come back, I can see that actually my memory is increasing as I'm interacting with my application. So I can go ahead and take another snapshot. And I can see that my memory has increased by 12 megabytes just between those two activities. So if I, and I've added 14 new objects, which actually 12 megabytes being tied up in 14 objects is quite a bit. So I'm gonna go ahead and click on the plus number here, and it's gonna bring me into a view that's showing me the diff between the first one and the last one. And so I can see my retained size differential, and the number two item that I see on here is this ripple. We think about how the application was working, we're clicking on it and we see that it's rippling. So if I select ripple, I can see what's keeping it alive in the reference graph down here at the bottom. JavaScript is a garbage collected runtime. If you have any references to something, it won't be cleaned up. And the first thing that I see is I have a callback that is preventing it from being garbage collected, that it's, that's what's in the reference graph. Which, if I think about how I wrote the application, when the water is simulating the ripple effect, it's using an MS request animation frame callback.
Okay.
So it turns out that I'm forgetting to cancel that callback when I navigate away from the page. So even though I'm not on the page, the memory associated with that page is not being cleaned up.
Right. Cool.
So the final thing, everything we've talked about is centered around store applications so far. So what about people that aren't developing store applications? Does the new performance and diagnostics page help you? We're still in the process of moving. We haven't been able to move the old tools to sort of be a first-class citizens of the page, but to make sure that it is the single point of entry for all performance tools, I have a C# console application open here. And when I came in here, we picked the startup project just the same as we did before, and now I'm directed to the performance wizard.
Right.
This is the performance wizard that we've shipped since Visual Studio 2008, so I don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but you can see I click start, and it just directs me right there.
Cool. All right, so this is really cool stuff. And so are these features specific to the Ultimate SKU? Or?
No, all the features that target store applications mm-hmm. are in the VS Express for Windows store apps SKU. And then the Performance Wizard is in the professional version of Visual Studio.
Awesome. This is great stuff. Thanks for showing us this.
You're welcome.
So great diagnostic tools, some of which have been in the product for a while, some of which are brand new, but all in one place where you can go get to them. So makes it a great way to do additional profiling, and we just saw a number of examples where it really gives you the tools you need to figure out what's going on in your app and start thinking about different ways to build the app for better performance. That's awesome. And then there'll be additional tooling and additional features coming in the various updates now that we're, you know, fully committed to this update cycle.
That is correct.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.